So yes, we have Maggie Tam and Tristan from Young Scot, who are obviously very active in this space, round about what's now called the Five Rights Initiative, and I think really interested to hear what you have to say, so I'll hand over to you, Maggie.
Good morning, everyone. It's a real privilege to be speaking to you today about the digital rights of young people, because it's such an important issue, so thank you so much for having us today, this morning. My name is Maggie Tam, I am the Five Rights Coordinator at Young Scot, and today I'm also with Tristan Lund, who is one of our Five Rights Youth Commissioners, and as a group they are currently investigating how Scotland can realise young people's rights in the digital world. So, for those of you who are not familiar with Young Scot, we are the National Youth Information and Citizenship Agency. We work with young people between the age of 11 to 26 and help them get the most of their lives. Most people will know us by the little Young Scot card that I believe more than 60% of all young people in Scotland carry in their wallets. And with that card, they can get all sorts of amazing discounts, from travelling to going to the cinema to eating out with their friends. And as a universal service for young people, we aim to activate, connect, and empower the young people of Scotland. And to achieve all of these, we encourage our young people to take part in a whole variety of projects, and one of these being Five Rights, which is what we're talking about today. So what is Five Rights? Five Rights is a UK-wide initiative that is aimed at enabling children and young people to access the digital world creatively, knowledgeably, and fearlessly. And in April last year, Young Scot became the lead strategic partner for Five Rights in Scotland. So it is our aim to promote the Five Rights framework and also to grow the Five Rights coalition here in Scotland. I'm sure you're already aware of the kind of risks and challenges that young people face online today. Things such as the invasion of privacy, online bullying, identity theft, and easy access to adult content. However, in protecting our young people from these risks and harms, sometimes we can undermine the huge potential that technology has to benefit and empower young people. The internet is a tool that, if it's used correctly, actually enables them to exercise their rights as a young person. And so that is what Five Rights aims to do. It aims to address that balance so that young people can enjoy in equal measures all of their rights to not just to protection, but also to provision and to participation, as listed in the United Nations Conventions on the Rights of the Child. So that's why at the core of Five Rights there's a framework, and there's a framework with five principles. These principles reflect the rights that are already embodied in the UNCRC. Now, to put you in some kind of context, you are looking at how old the UNCRC is, because I was born the same year that the UNCRC was adopted in 1989, and that is just to remind you what technology was like in 1989. There is a computer there in the top right corner. I think that's an Apple IIGS. But I don't think it would have been online, because something else that was born in 1989 was the World Wide Web. So the UNCRC was developed without the influence of the internet as we know it today. And it might make it seem a bit outdated, but the UNCRC is not outdated, because it applies to the digital age just as much as it did to the world in 1989. Its value remains the same, we just need a slightly different approach to apply the rights. So the rights in Five Rights, they are not anything new as such. We're not handing out new rights to our young people, but we're just ensuring that the same rights that have been promised to them in the offline world also apply to them in the online world. So now I'm going to hand over to Tristan, who will tell us from a young person perspective what each of the five rights is and what they mean.
Hi, I'm Tristan, I'm 16, I've been doing my work experience at Young Scot, I'm part of the Youth Commission, and the first right I'm going to take you through of the five is the right to remove. And the right to remove should allow a young person to delete all trace of content that they have created about themselves online, even if it's been screenshotted or retweeted or forwarded or copied to somebody else. And this means that embarrassing photos of a person taken when they were drunk or high or in a socially unacceptable state will not stop that person from getting a job or from being given grief at school or college or university. And young people often make mistakes while growing up or developing their identity. And currently, most social media and content creation sites will allow you to delete your own content, but only that which you have created initially. And this means that, for example, a photo of you with your head down the toilet while you're being sick or something, if copied once, will go completely out of your control. The second right is the right to know. Now, the biggest lie in the modern era is, I have read and agreed to the terms and conditions. And the right to know should force companies to provide a summary, at least, of perhaps an informal language, so that people are more inclined to read the terms and conditions. And since I'm sure most, if not all of you in here, have a social media account, and you'll have generated data online, and since you have read the terms and conditions, you should know that since anyone has unlimited, free, unrestricted access to your data, it can be recorded by anyone without your knowledge. You cannot know who is using your data or for what purposes they are using your data for. Third right is the right to safety and support. The right to safety and support should allow children to access the internet without restraints, but removes disturbing content from the list of things that they can access. For example, if a child types porn onto Google, if no account has been made or if the account is underage, then the no results message comes up as if it was a spelling error. And it's scarily easy to access sexually explicit material or extremely violent content on the internet. And mostly the only message which will come up will be a pop-up asking if you're over 18. And these can quickly be made ineffective as a child learns to click the "Yeah, I'm over 18" button. There's also very little support for those who do get disturbed by online content. Victims will often not seek support in case they are told off for having visited a disturbing site. This needs to change. If a child has accessed disturbing content, they should not be told off for doing so, but educated that they shouldn't do it and been given support to reduce its effects on their health, mental health. Fourth right is the right to make informed and conscious choices, which should allow people to understand the technology you're using and not be device dependent. Mobile games such as Clash of Clans and media sites such as Facebook and Twitter can be addictive when installed on your phone. Every time something happens, a message will pop up or a sound will play or something along those lines, which can be extremely frustrating in certain situations. And you have to go through many steps to disable it. And you have to do each of the steps for every single app on your phone. Meaning that if you have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, you'll have to go through all the steps 4 times. And this also means if you install a new app, you'll have to do it again. And bear in mind, it's not immediately obvious how to do it, so you do have to do a little poking around. And at the moment, if you open your phone by unscrewing the screws, you break the warranty. Despite taking things apart to figure them out and customize them being a fundamental part of human psychology. This shows that instead of adapting our technology to suit us, we are adapting to the technology that we are using. The fifth right is the right to digital literacy. This is the final one. I don't think I get to rant on much more after this. The right to digital literacy should allow young people to use the internet more efficiently, creatively, and safely, due to a knowledge of how to do so. The current curriculum is usually based on security and what most teachers have encountered from their experience being online. So, as a first-hand being taught her by the curriculum, the right word for that, and having got been told by my peers and from first-hand experience from my own school and from other schools, mostly what security is, if you get an email from a Nigerian prince, don't click the link. Not only that, but there are a few lessons taught on how to safely navigate the internet. And in order to avoid instances like the Nigerian prince story, arriving at your doorstep in the first place. Digital literacy can help young children to navigate the internet faster, more reliably, and more safely, as well as enhancing their ability to create and share their own content. This opens so many more opportunities to be explored by children. What the digital literacy is becoming one of the most important things that you can learn when you are young. Yet it is still not a compulsory subject in schools such as English and Maths. And its curriculum is behind what experts, like leaders in cybersecurity and space, say should be standard. And the next steps that we need to take are that five rights need to be fundamental to all things we do in the digital world. And technology needs to be designed with young people's needs and rights in mind. We need everyone to play a part in the project, including policy, commercial, and consumer sectors. And I'm part of the Youth Commission. That's a photo of us up there. I'm right at the back. And we're a group of 19 young people, aged 14 to 21, living in Scotland, who have different backgrounds and are doing research and helping spread the message of digital rights. We're trying to recommend how the Scottish Government can act on the digital rights. We're trying to inform others about the Youth Commission and their digital rights, and to help young people in the Five Rights movement. And we're inviting all of you to become a signatory to the Five Rights movement. There are some of the ones down there at the bottom. And you can give your own ideas to how the Five Rights can be improved and to encourage a better internet. Thank you.
You've just given us all a lesson how to do a presentation. That was fabulous. You know, while Tristan and Maggie are up there again, do we have some questions on a fascinating talk? Yes, John?
It's not like so much a question, but just do you think, I suppose maybe it's a question, the things you're talking about, five rights, do you think that adults need the same education, perhaps?
Yeah, you need to be educated so you can educate us properly.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, I guess for me, I mean, it's a great initiative. How effective or how much influence are you beginning to get? Because I guess there are some significant interests at work here against some of the things that you want in maybe companies and the things that I try to talk about. So, is there some momentum behind this in terms of how you actually get it to be something that I can imagine that could be there?
Yeah, because we've got the government as a signatory and the NHS, so...
Also, the Youth Commission, they are directly reporting to the Scottish government, so their recommendations go straight to government, so...
I guess I'm thinking more of the companies. Are they... how open do you feel that they are to...
Some of them have said to us that there are things that, you know, because it's such a... profitable industry selling and trading data, they are just not willing. But I think it's more, you know, it's a change of attitude, even just them knowing that there are young users using the services, and just kind of, you know, deciding around their needs.
Can I ask one question? Sorry, we finished that?
I think so.
Do you think a lot of young people realise that pictures that they do post can't be taken off?
I think they think that no one's really going to pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do, we did a survey, didn't we? And most people think that their photos stay online even when they're taken off. The thing I read about in the Facebook terms and conditions while I'm doing some research was that your data can actually stay in the backup Facebook files for up to 6 months, even if nobody else can see it.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Where do you Who do you hang out on social media? What are your kind of habits?
I don't really use social media. I don't have a smartphone. It seems totally illogical to me. On Facebook, for example, it's a friends policy. There isn't another sort of group you can assign people to. And I sort of have a, well, if you're not my friend, I don't want you on my friends list.
Okay, yes, Les.
So how about the other young people that perhaps some of your friends who use social media, do you tell them about Five Rights? And if you do, how do they react?
They usually know that they think they know that they have rights, but they don't really know what they are, and they're usually pleased that they do actually have rights, but they don't know what they are, so it's a bit funny talking to them.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, that was really great, and again, we'll get you up later to talk to the panel. Okay, so thank you again. Okay, our